Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Tom Jensen. My guest this week is Greg Power. Greg is, of course, the Fisheries Division Chief with Game and Fish. We're going to talk about the upcoming ice fishing season. First thing I want to talk about this morning, Greg, is the formation of ice. Now, we're running a little ways behind, I guess. We had such a beautiful October and November, but now we're fighting a big snowstorm, and some people might think that's good for formation of ice, but it's really not.
No, it isn't, and you're right, we're running way late, just like last year. We've had a couple years of late ice. This year it's a little bit different, is that we're really close to making ice, I would guess. You know, certainly by the 10th of December, most lakes will have decent ice, but right now it's with the snow and stuff and the wind. When a lake freezes up that way with a lot of slush, it's not good for good quality ice for sure, and it's something we got to be very careful about. You know, the ideal ice making conditions are cold temperatures overnight where you might get down to even single digits, something like that, and no wind. You get that nice pure glass on the surface. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case in many of our lakes this year.
This could also pose a threat to winter kill.
Yes. We've also seen that for sure, that when you get that cloudy ice, you get that slush and stuff, and then you put a snowpack on top of that right away, photosynthesis right away has been reduced. The days are already short right now, so you don't have a lot of sun penetration. So we, you know, the likelihood of winter kill this winter or come next spring is going to be significantly more than we've seen the last couple years, where we've virtually have had no winter kill the last couple years, though.
You mentioned that it may be forming questionable ice. Does that have any bearing on the, there's a graph that we use, just kind of a benchmark for accessing the ice. Is it going to have any bearing
sure.
on that?
Oh, it will again. I mean, that, you know, the graph, those things are used out there for, you know, kind of as a guideline for people. That's based on good ice. And if it freezes up again as slush or something of that nature, be very cautious. You know, they say 4 inches for walk on ice. Yep. And that's what people are interested in right now here, short term. There may not be a lot of ice anglers, but they're pretty avid, those that want to get on in that early ice. For sure, I would say this year, have all 4 inches for the walk on ice, just because, and then you put the snow on top of that relatively bad ice, you don't know, you know, where there might be a weak spot, whereas you have that clear ice, you can actually see the ice as you're walking, you can see the cracks and stuff. So,
right.
You know, it's something to be very cautious about.
Let's remind people of the parameters for accessing the ice.
Right, again, the walk on ice, as a general rule, 4 inches, something in that neighborhood, depending upon the quality of the ice. You know, you're talking, oh, people get into the ATVs and, you know, and they'll start scooting around on the lakes there. You need all of 6 inches. ATV covers a lot of ground, and it may be 6 inches where you start. It may not be 6 inches where you end. So, you know, add a couple to all this, and then you need a good foot for pickups. You know, and that's, and then North Dakota, I keep going back to this, but other than last winter, every winter in our history, we've had good ice during the holidays, and that's critical to get people out ice fishing. Looking at the long-term forecast, I think we're going to be there this year. It won't be like last year. Come Christmas time, the ice should be good enough for traveling, you know, the 12-plus inches on our lakes, truck traffic, ice houses and stuff. But if you're going to, we're a ways away from the good 12 inches for truck traffic.
That's providing that there's access to the ice. I mean,
well,
you throw 2 feet of snow out in one
right.
storm with
yep.
strong winds.
Well, that's a, and it's maybe an unfortunate event that could occur, because we got very good ice fishing opportunities again this winter. We should have almost statewide, we should have very good ice fishing. Hopefully it's not one of those winters where you just don't have access because of the snow. You know, most years, 25% of our entire fishing effort course of the year is ice fishing. We know in bad years it's less than 5%. Hopefully it's not one of those bad years.
Regardless of the conditions, there are going to be some ice fishing opportunities this year, and they're going to be good ones. Let's go over some of the rules and regulations, Greg, that are different from summer fishing to winter fishing.
Sure. It's basically the same, other than you're fishing through ice. The biggest difference, and it's and that rule's been in place for close to 25 years, you can use four lines ice fishing. So you have four holes out there. We've had that in place, like I said, about 25 years. We haven't, you know, on average, we're seeing people use about three lines, even though they could use a fourth. That's the biggest one. We got a couple changes this year that you know might impact anglers this winter. One is whether you dark haul spearfish or any hole that you create with an auger that's greater than 10 inches, you need to mark that hole. The change this year is when you get to the lake, you must have that material with you in your possession before you start fishing or dark haul spear fishing.
You can't use sticks or rocks or tumbleweeds.
You can use tumbleweeds, but have them in your possession. What we found is that people, that's been the law for a while now, is, you know, for probably 10 years, that you need to mark your hole when you're done fishing. But we find out that people get there, they have the intention to mark the hole, then they're done fishing or dark haul spear fishing, and they don't have anything with them. Mm-hmm. Not, you know. So now that's one change is when you get, especially dark haul spear fishing, come with the material you're going to mark your hole with. Another one that's important is that we did reduce the possession limit on panfish, white bass, bluegill, and yellow perch. Was 80, it's the possession limit is 40. So you have 20 daily, 40 in possession. That's important if you're, you know, planning an extended period of fishing somewhere. And then it's a ways off yet, but over the holidays, we are having our first ever winter free fishing weekend, which which this year happens to be New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, the 31st, December 1st and January, residents only.
We of course have the open water free fishing weekend. Right. Now we're adding the ice fishing.
We've had that in the first weekend of June. Now we're going to try one for ice fishing. And the idea is, again, the holidays, people are, friends, family back home, get out there and try some fishing.
We should remind people of one rule also, because in certain instances for perch fishing now, find a lot of small fish. There are a lot of opportunities out there and things. If people catch a fish that's too small, they need to release it right away.
Yeah.
Don't throw it in a bucket. If we catch four or five, we'll take them home, but if we don't, we'll put them back. Need to get them back in the water, like right now.
Yeah, and that part has always been a lot. That's no different than high grading out of live well, the summer fishing. You need to make that decision as soon as you catch a fish, whether you're going to keep it or release it. And if you release it immediately. Don't, especially ice fishing, you've got to be careful of taking pictures or whatever, deciding, because especially the eyes are very vulnerable to the cold and they can freeze up pretty quick. So you want to make that decision. You're going to keep it. You cannot put it in the bucket of water. You can't transport fish away from a lake in the bucket of water other than the minnows that you have.
You can't transport water
right
from lake to lake. We should talk about that a little bit. The ANS.
So it's rules. ANS. It's an ANS, aquatic nuisance species concern. It's also in the past. Some people, there have been illegal introductions of people catching fish from one lake, keeping them in the water, and moving them to another lake. You know, that's taboo. That's a no-no, and it's caused the anglers of North Dakota a lot of money, a lot of lost recreational opportunity over the years. So you can't do that.
All right. One big problem that we do have during the winter, particularly, is litter on the ice. People seem like they don't pay much attention.
Right. Well, out of sight, out of mind, I guess, or something. People, that's nothing new again. I wish people would clean up after themselves better, but oftentimes it's, the lake looks pretty good this time of the year or January, but come March and the ice is going up or the snow's melted and oh my gosh, they're quite the mess out there. And litter is litter. I mean, it's against the law. Please, please clean up. And that includes, you can't discard your minnows on the ice and stuff when you're done fishing. You need to clean up, take it away, take it home and discard it properly.
A lot of people like to clean their fish on the ice. That includes, of course, fish guts. Don't leave those out on the ice. They're going to attract pests and things like that. But we should also mention, Greg, that there are some rules about cleaning your fish on the ice and transporting them.
Right. And you can clean your fish on the ice. That's okay. And a lot of people practice it, and that's fine. Again, bring a bag, put your entrails of the fish, the carcass of the fish, take it home, discard it properly. you know, you should mention overnight stay too of the daily limits. That if you're, let's for walleye, for example, 5 walleye daily, you can catch those in your nice house, and you're going to stay overnight, and you catch 5 more. Lake Audubon's a popular lake, or Lake Darling, Devil's Lake. There's a lot of lakes. People do this with ice houses. That if you you have 5 walleye in your possession, you caught them one day, you need to remove those from the lake, or else you're going to be technically in violation.
What do you mean, remove them from?
You got to throw them in a cooler, put them in your truck, put them on shore. Got to get them out of the ice house, off the lake proper. So you're going to have to come up with a plan. You're going to have to come, you know, with a good plan of how you're going to deal with that. Otherwise, the game warden comes there, sees you have 6, 7, 8 walleye. You know,
maybe from the day before, but
how do you know? Yeah.
All right. As long as we're talking about fish houses, Greg, let's talk about some of the rules and regulations concerning houses, what they need to be made of, things like that, licensing.
Yeah, licensing. Maybe that's the first one. We've done away with licensing, probably 10, all of 10 years ago, but we still get some questions about, you know, where do I get an ice house license? There is no such thing in North Dakota. Other states, yes, but we don't have a license. However, if you're in any structure, ice house out on a lake, and if you leave it unattended overnight, you do need to have your name and your phone number or address on the house in 3 inches or larger lettering on the place, so that if it was left, the reason being, if that ace house, let's say it's not a very good one, some type of shanty, it was left there, that way the game wardens can follow up, so that in the end, come March and ice goes off, it doesn't sink to the bottom, and it's part of that litter.
All right. You mentioned it should be a good year. Let's hope so. Huh?
Yep, it should be an excellent year.
All right, Greg, thanks.
You bet.
The round of fall advisory board meetings has changed a little from the original schedule due to our winter storm. Here is a revised list of the times, dates, and destinations for the advisory board meeting in all 8 districts in North Dakota. Remember, these meetings are designed as a sounding board for individuals to speak up about outdoor issues. There is an agenda at each meeting, followed by a question and answer period. If you want to speak up, attend an advisory board meeting near you. For Greg Power and the rest of the staff here at North Dakota Game and Fish, thanks for joining us for Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.